Talk to me no matter what you feel. Hi, my name is Scott Anderson, and you've reached my first podcast of May 2023. Why, it seems like only yesterday it was May 2022, but now it's 2023. My podcast is sponsored by two sponsors. The first is creative technology and innovation. Sometimes you need to look for a new way to do things. Sometimes you need to consider alternative viewpoints to what you are trying to do. Creative technology and innovation, your partner. The other sponsor is the upcoming novel, hopefully this month, in fact, potentially June, but most likely in the month of May 2023, the novel Danny and the Corporate Ladder. Sometimes in life you meet people and you think that person is too good to be true. And then you find out they really are that good. Danny and the Corporate Ladder. Available in bookstores, ebook stores, and audiobook stores. Hopefully the end of May 2023. So I'm continuing the machine intelligence papers. I'm going to publish issue 5 today. So this is volume 1, issue 5, focusing on questions that people are asking me. So people often ask me questions about machine intelligence. What is the impact? What's it going to do? What does it mean? How does it fit? And so over the next few weeks, I'm going to answer the questions that I get from people about machine intelligence. I'm going to talk about the good of the result out of the question, and I'm going to talk about the bad out of the result for the question. Now, I've up to now answered 2 questions in every week's issue. For this third issue of the questions section of Volume 1, I'm only going to answer 1 because it is a huge question. And it is the question that probably plagues most people considering the impact of machine intelligence as they look at the workforce of the future and they consider the impact of machine intelligence. And that is, will machine intelligence take my job? Will I lose my job? Will I no longer be able to work because machine intelligence is going to do it better? So I want to make sure that we clearly define what it is we're saying, because I think if we look at the concept of jobs that are just not good, jobs that are painful and really ultimately not good for human beings, there are many of those. And if machine intelligence systems are able to do those jobs and reduce the risk of human beings, either from exposure to the elements or from repetitive stress injuries, that's a great thing. First of all, some of the people with that job today will have to stay because they know the job and they're going to have to help the machine intelligence systems get through some of the uncommon issues that come up from time to time, right? So there'll still be some people that keep the job, but everybody will no longer have this job that causes injury, that causes exposure, that causes low pay. We'll be able to utilize machine intelligence infrastructures to take those low-paying jobs and make them easier. The other side, right, is, will a machine intelligence replace me? And I kind of dive a little bit into that in the article, the concept of a digital twin, a true digital twin, where the other half of you is now this digital entity that exists in your space. It is you, right? I mean, I think sometimes a virtual Scott would be a good thing. Virtual Scott could sit on some of the conference calls I have to sit on and respond to the questions and answers as if it was Scott, and also store that information for me later in case there's something I need to act on. I can go back and grab that information and utilize it. But the reality is a digital twin of Scott would help me, would reduce my workload a little bit, which is a good thing, right? In the long run, we always want to put ourselves in positions where technology is able to reduce the workload that have, that impacts human beings. So that's the first thing, right, is that concept. And I answered the good and the bad about that because there is good and there is bad, right? I mean, the reality of a digital twin is, do you know which one is real, because if the digital twin becomes more popular than the original, you know, how does the original step in and say, well, wait a minute, that's my twin, right? That is not me. That is my digital me. Anyway, that is kind of where I've been thinking about. And as I said, I'm on issue 5 now of volume 1. I think I'm going to go to 10 issues per volume. I haven't decided completely yet. I may stop at 6. I don't know. I may do 6 for one and 8 for one and 25 for another. It just depends on kind of how everything fits and what I kind of think through and where I am. But once I get through the question section, I'm going to start doing some of the harder things, which is, you know, what are the rights of a digital intelligence? What rights does it have by default? What rights should it have by default? And what are the rights that all human beings deserve and therefore all digital intelligences deserve? Because there are arguments and have been arguments for more than the last 240 years, just in the last 240 years, plus the U.S. Constitution has been thrown out as a component piece of what people deserve. Well, the reality is people deserve the right to do things to a point. And so we got to get that kind of crisply and clearly done, because a machine intelligence doesn't have the same hierarchy of needs as a human being, right? If we think about the hierarchy of needs, Maslow didn't deliver it as a triangle originally. That was done after Maslow published, and really wasn't Maslow that did the triangle. But when we think about that base level of needs, you know, his top need or his top status or stasis was the concept of self-realization or self-realization is the way I call it. There are many other names for it, but the reality is that top level of the pyramid was all about self-actualization, self-realization, you know, self-improvement, self-development, blah, blah, blah. And so when we think about a machine intelligence, what's going to happen is that machine intelligence is going to start on the top of the hierarchy of needs without necessarily understanding nor having control over some of the rest of the needs, just like a human being would. Human beings often start rationally having questions like that. You know, when they're 14 or 15 years old, many teenagers would tell you that, you know, their parents are wackadoodles and don't know what they're doing, right? But the reality is, yes, people consider that hierarchy to be kind of this sacrosanct thing, which it could be, probably isn't, but you know, we have to consider both sides of the coin. My name is Scott Anderson. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast.